From Kilskerry, County Tyrone, we present Let the Bible Speak. Here to let the Bible speak for the next 15 minutes is Gospel Minister and Evangelist, the Reverend Ivan Foster.
Welcome, everyone, to our program. We're delighted you have joined with us. I want to introduce a new testimony on our program this evening. It's that of Robert Bell. You may have heard his name mentioned by Mrs. Loreen King in last month's special testimony. It was the conversion of Robert, her brother-in-law, which first turned her mind to the consideration of her salvation. I thought it very appropriate to play Robert's testimony over the next few weeks. I will be taking up the subject of everlasting punishment again. We did not complete our study last week. This study is part of our ongoing series, Central Doctrines of the Christian Faith. But now, here's Robert Bell. He introduces his testimony by reading some portions of God's Word that played a vital part in his conversion. I need hardly remind our listeners that the full testimony of Robert Bell is available on cassette tape, and it's free. Just contact me for your copy. As I said, here's Robert Bell.
Before I give a word of testimony, I want to share with you some portions of Scripture. And as I give my word of testimony, you'll be able to see these portions of Scripture coming into place as God began to work in my life. First one I want to leave with you is in Proverbs 3, verse 5 to 6. Trust in the Lord is simply what I have headed it here as. And it says there in Proverbs 3, verses 5 to 6. It says, Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And you know that's what we have to do at the beginning of a meeting. We're to leave everything and trust in the Lord, and to leave everything in his hands. The next verse that I want to leave with you is what I call the beginning. And it's in Hebrews 11 and verse 6. It says, But without faith it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I read that portion of Scripture the next day after I was brought home from hospital. And for me, it was the beginning of my life. The next portion of Scripture I've headed it as the way is. And it's found over there in Proverbs 14, verses 12 to 13. And it says there, There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Verse 13 says, Even in laughter the heart is sorrowful, and the end of that mirth is heaviness. That would sum up 28 years of my life. The two ways are the next heading, and they come under Matthew chapter 7, verses 13 to 14. They were preached on the night I was saved. And it says there in 13, Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. 14 says, Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. The next one is hearing the gospel, Mark chapter 4, verses 23 to 24. If any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet it shall be measured to you, and unto you that hear shall more be given. The next heading, New Life in Christ, with Christ. As I give my testimony, you'll see how these portions of Scripture come into place. 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 17. And it says there, Therefore if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Let us turn our thoughts once again to what can only be described as a dark subject, that of man's everlasting punishment for sin. Robert Bell, in his testimony, read a portion, Matthew chapter 7, the verses 13 and 14, and we have used those verses as the very basis of what it is we're seeking to say, because the Bible indicates that there are only two destinations to which men can go. It is heaven or hell, and there are only two paths upon which we may travel through life. One leads to heaven, one leads to hell. One is the broad way, and one is the narrow way. In our study last week, I first of all pointed out to you that this subject is dealt with in the Bible. There can be no doubt about that. The Lord Jesus Christ himself, not to mention all the other writers in the Bible who deal with this subject, the Lord Jesus Christ himself dealt with this subject. And you may well remember, if you were listening last week, that I said it was among the first doctrines that he taught. And certainly it was one of the most frequently mentioned doctrines in all the Savior's addresses to men and women. We also considered why this subject is dealt with. And among the reasons I give you is very simply that there is such a place, and our love for sinners demands that a warning be issued about this place to which men are going if they are not saved by the grace of God. Now we come to a very important truth concerning everlasting punishment, and that is this: the hell spoken of in the Bible is not annihilation. It does not mean that the sinner who is cast into hell ceases to exist. There are those who teach that, but it is not what the Bible tells us. Let me plainly show you from God's Word that the sinner who dies in his sin, not trusting in Christ for salvation, is cast into everlasting punishment, but he continues to exist. I'm going to read from Luke chapter 16, the verses 22 and 24. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abram's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. Some people say that this is a parable. They have no grounds for saying this. The Savior invariably, when he introduced a parable, stated that it was a parable. But in this case, there is no reference to a parable. There really was a rich man, and there really was an individual called Lazarus. I might just point out that in the parables of the Lord Jesus, the characters never are given names. But here we have a name given to the beggar. But please notice how the individuals continue to exist. Their personalities continue on after death. Lazarus is still called Lazarus. The rich man is still referred to as the rich man. You will see that the rich man has memories of how life was for him before he died. You will also see, if you continue to read on down Luke chapter 16, he hasn't forgotten that he has brothers, and he has feelings for them. He has a concern for them. When you look at this and examine all these little details, it is clear to be seen that the sinner continues as the same person after he dies and is cast into hell. You will notice the mention of torment, because hell is a place of torment. It is a place of punishment. That is a most unpopular theme today, but nevertheless it is true. Torment is the consequence of man's rebellion against God. Eternal torment. I'm going to read from Revelation chapter 14 and the verse 11. And the smoke of their torment ascended up for ever and ever, and they have no rest day nor night, who worship the beast and his image, and whosoever receiveth the mark of his name. This is a reference to a future event, when there will come the Antichrist, and people will give their allegiance to him and worship him, and the consequence of that sin is that they will be tormented day and night forever. In Revelation chapter 20 and the verse 10, "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are." Two men, two individuals, and now they're joined by the devil in the place of torment, "and they shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." If words mean anything, we are clearly told here that hell is a place of eternal suffering. Let me quickly conclude on what is the most important of all the things I have to say about everlasting punishment, and it's this: escape from hell is through the sufferings of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, praise God, there is an escape from everlasting punishment, and that escape, let me tell you, is the result of the love and mercy of God. Hell is the due reward of man's sin against God. And that sentence cannot be set aside. God cannot just ignore our sin. Courts can do that, governments can do that, but not God, for God is holy and just. But God has provided a means whereby he can save the sinner and yet be just. He can exercise mercy and pardon the sinner and yet carry out the sentence due to the crimes of the sinner. How is that? By sending his Son to take the place of the sinner. Listen, I'm going to read some verses. Isaiah 53, verse 5. "But he was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Again, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24. "Who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sins should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed." Again, 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 21. "For he hath made him to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." Romans 5, 6. "For when ye were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." Men and women, I must preach that there is everlasting punishment due to sin. But praise God, I can also say there's everlasting salvation provided for sinners through the Lord Jesus Christ. Only trust him. Time is gone. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Goodbye.
Thank you for listening. If we can be of any further spiritual help to you, or if you would like us to send you some free gospel literature, we invite you to write to us. Additionally, Mr. Foster would welcome your comments or questions on the messages here on Let the Bible Speak. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78-3RN. That is, Let the Bible Speak, the Reverend Ivan Foster, Old Junction Road, Kilskerry, County Tyrone, BT78-3RN. You may hear Mr. Foster preach each Lord's Day here in Kilskerry at 11:30 a.m. and 7:30 p.m. For further information, you may phone us at 028-8956-1564. That is 028-8956-1564. We assure you of a warm welcome at all the services here and look forward to having you come and visit with us. Once again, thank you for listening. May the Lord bless his word to your heart and enable you to tune in again as we let the Bible speak.